Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Julia Argy, and she is out with a brand new novel. It is called The One. It is available everywhere. Julia hails from the northeastern part of the United States via Big Ten country, the University of Michigan, and their fantastically exclusive writing program. And Julia, jumping right into this, I always think it's funny because when a book comes out that has something to do with a part of popular culture that I really know nothing about, with these reality TV shows, I'm not into it, but what I learned from it, I learned from either osmosis or reading in your book. So can you set this up, how reality TV plays into the story of The One?
Sure. So it is set on a reality dating show that, as you're saying, anyone with just being in today's culture would be able to kind of access, because we all know about The Bachelor with the roses, the helicopter rides, and then there are other shows like Love is Blind and Love Island that are very ubiquitous in our culture. And so The One is the name of the reality dating show that this book is set on, and it follows the course of a contestant on the show over all of the episodes of a season.
The main character, Emily, she kind of falls into this and gets on the show and kind of realizes some things that she didn't know about it, especially, and it's something that was kind of eye-opening to me, this whole idea that there's different producers who are, you don't have just the contestants competing, you've got the people who work on the show competing. Can you explain how that works, that a producer can make their fortune in the industry based on how the show plays out?
Yeah, so in the book, one of the main characters is named Miranda, and she is Emily's, the main contestant's producer, and she is really invested in having Emily succeed. In addition to creating drama and creating a love story, having her individual contestant is good for her career. She wants to be seen as someone who can make really good TV, and that's a big stressor for her throughout the novel, is the ability to be able to have her contestants either rise very beautifully and enter a beautiful love story, but also have some of her other contestants flail about and create interesting television in other ways, because as we know, the reality television shows aren't necessarily in just showing a beautiful engagement or marriage at the end. A lot of the intrigue is around the interpersonal drama between the contestants and the contestants and the lead.
Well, the contestants spend more time together than the lead does with them, right?
Yes, that is very true, especially in the setup where there's one main lead who's dating a bunch of different contestants. The contestants are basically stuck together 24/7 and only see the lead for a couple of hours a week. And so by the time you're hypothetically getting engaged, you've spent way more time with your roommates, you've spent way more time with your producer than you have with the person you're eventually going to marry. And since the book tracks Emily so closely, we see very little of the lead and a lot of time with her fellow contestants and her relationship with Miranda throughout the course of the story.
When you started figuring out how this book was going to play out, the whole idea that it's set on a reality show kind of gives it a sense of a closed universe. It's not like Clue, or it's not like the people that are stuck on an island together, but in a sense, it's a closed universe. So how did you work within those walls?
Yeah, that was really helpful for me as a first-time novelist. This is my debut. A novel, when you're thinking about it, big picture, when I was at Michigan, like you mentioned, I was like, it can be anything. It could last 100 years. It could last 1,000 years. And I was like, okay, reality television, 10 weeks, a bunch of people stuck in a house. It was a very neat container for all of the ideas that I was thinking through. And then the challenges arose where I was like, okay, there's 30 people stuck in a house together. No one wants to read a book with 30 main characters. And so from there, I was able to start to narrow in on, you know, what was the character I wanted to focus on? What was her journey like throughout the show? To use the lingo of the show, very important to have a beautiful journey. What was her journey going to look like? And how could I create this claustrophobic environment that's interesting, that's compelling, that has a lot of the tension innately built into it because the setting is so extreme in terms of sleep deprivation, getting a bunch of new roommates, et cetera.
The book that you wrote, you said it's your debut novel. Did you workshop it?
I did workshop it.
How did that work out for you? I mean, how did that process work?
So I workshopped it as my thesis for my MFA program, and I had only written short stories before. This was my first time trying to write a novel, and so I was really nervous going into it, and it was really different than a lot of the work I had done before. Insofar, it was obviously a full-length project, and it was so based in pop culture, and everyone, you know, there were some fans of reality dating shows, there were some people who have never watched a reality dating show, and it was actually a really good, like, slice of life in terms of whatever, you know, reader could pick it up at a bookstore. It was like, okay, this person has never watched one of these shows, how are they responding to it? Or, you know, this person has watched a ton of them and really knows a lot, and so getting that initial balance right of, like, this is way too much information about how the behind the scenes work versus, you know, I have no idea what's going on. They were super helpful in that initial honing process for me.
I'm chatting with Julia Argy about her debut novel, The One. It is available everywhere, and it is it's a fantastic dive into the realities of reality TV shows and a fantastic love story, contemporary love story at the time. This whole idea of the people who are on camera so much, that always kind of concerned me as far as buying into. You seem to have to suspend a lot of your disbelief in order to buy into these reality shows, and you have a literary mindset, and so you're familiar with novels and all of that, and so you get how it works. Is there a certain amount of people that watch these shows and think it's all, I mean, reality seems to insinuate that it's all just happenstance, but there's not a lot of happenstance. A lot of these things are geared toward that. So how do people with a literary mindset and the people who are more scientifically based deal with watching these type of shows? Because they seem to run the gamut.
Yeah, I think part of what was interesting to me about the shows is exactly what you're saying, is that the viewers were so broad. Some people are like, wow, this is so beautiful that they fell in love and got engaged. And then some people are like, this was totally fabricated, but it's still interesting to watch. And so I was leaning more towards totally fabricated. I think what you're saying with having an eye towards story, it's like, oh, I see that they're planting, you know, Shanae as a villain very early on. You know, there is basic storytelling arcs happening over the course of the season that you can try to pick up on if you're thinking of it more as a story and less as reality. But I think part of what's interesting is the way that these shows have evolved over time, now that people are starting to understand that they can build your career if you behave in a certain way, either if you're really nice or really mean, you can get a big following. And that has kind of skewed, like, the fourth wall even further. Is now there's, like, a contestant, a viewer, a producer understanding that this is all highly manipulated, trying to make a good story in a very valiant effort to try to have a compelling season. But I think increasingly, as social media has become integrated into these shows, it's become even more clear how fabricated they really are.
Do you find that as you look at shows like this, and even real life, there's a certain degree of fiction in everyone's life? And I say that when you mention social media, it seems like so many people live in the moment to share something with somebody else. And I had a friend of mine that used to say, if anybody's life was half as happy as it appears on Facebook, nobody would be on Zoloft anymore. So do you see that in people's lives, that a lot of what they do is just for show?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of my initial impulses when I started working on the book. That was kind of outside the fun setting of a reality show. I felt like, I wasn't on social media at the time, but I felt like I would go to a restaurant and be like, wow, this food looks really good. Like, people would be so interested to see what kind of beautiful food I'm eating. And it's, like, effectively delusional. There's no one watching me eat this. There's no one watching me have a good time at the beach, but I'm still, even distanced from Facebook or Instagram, you know, performing for myself. And I was like, the reality dating show, the 24/7 surveillance, is that dialed up to the max, where those women are in their house as contestants on the show. They are actually, you know, eating their breakfast, being videotaped, trying to seem potentially attractive to the lead. And it seemed like the most high-velocity version of what you're talking about, where people just start performing all the time for social media because it's become totally ubiquitous in our lives, even when we're not necessarily trying to do anything of note. It's just part of our daily consciousness now.
Is there a certain amount of pressure on you to take a story like this where people assume they know so much about a thing, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, whatever these shows are, and to make it a readable format to read about them, because people come in with all these preconceived notions and there's a chance that, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about these shows, I'm putting it down.
Yeah, so I tried to do as much research as I could, listening to past contestants from all different shows talk about what it was like, but when, you know, the public has started to read the novel, they're like, I'm sure Julia Argy needs to work on one of these. And I was like, I watched these for many years, but I've never worked on TV at all. I've never, you know, I'm just a fan as much as anyone else is. And so I was really worried about that initially. Oh, I'm going to disappoint people. If anyone who actually knows anything about these shows gets their hand on my book, they're going to be like, this is made up. And then I remembered, oh, I'm writing a novel. And the point is that it's made up, and I'm allowed to take liberties with, quote-unquote, the reality of reality television as long as it's in service to the story. So a lot of it is based on research I did, but also, as I mentioned earlier, based on the scope of the novel, I didn't want to include all of the staff, all of the producers, all of the contestants in the book. It would be unreadable. And so there were liberties I took with the factual way these shows work in order to make a book compelling. And I hope I struck that balance well, but that was definitely a concern early in my drafting process where I was like, I feel like a novice, but I'm going to do the best I can to represent them in an interesting way.
I know we mentioned the University of Michigan, their MFA program there. It's been around since, I think, the early 80s. I've had people on from the Iowa Writers' Workshop. I think Michigan is probably similar in the way those work. But and the one thing I found out about these MFA programs, they're very, very exclusive. You've got to be a hell of a good writer just to get into it. So what was your experience like?
Thank you. I had a great experience. I didn't really start writing until my senior year of college. I was a statistics major as an undergrad. And I took a creative writing course kind of on a whim. I had finished all of my requirements for my STEM degree. And my professor was super supportive, and she told me about these elusive programs like they're talking about where they would pay you to write money. I was always a big, pay you to write fiction. I was always a big reader. And hearing that, I was so confused. I was like, that doesn't seem like a good investment. Writing is not known as, like, a lucrative career path. And so she was super supportive, and I ended up applying once I found out that these programs existed. And so at my time at Michigan, I had some teaching requirements, but my main job was to write, to hopefully write something that would get published one day, and in return they paid me a little bit of a stipend so that I didn't have to go into debt and I didn't have to, I had a reasonable workload in terms of my teaching load, so I was really able to focus on my writing, and I'm not sure I would have been able to write this novel had I been working, you know, a 40-hour-a-week job and writing in addition. So I'm super grateful for the opportunity.
That sounds like a great intersection of art and commerce there at the University of Michigan. This book is called The One. It's the brand new novel. It's a debut novel from Julia Argy. The book is available everywhere. Julia, I really enjoyed it, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.